Tim Murray's the host of VSiN Primetime, airing live each and every weeknight, 5 until 8 Central Time. Follow him on Twitter on X at @1TimMurray. Also, the college football betting podcast from VSiN, also college basketball betting podcast as well. Tim, I want to start with the NBA because one thing that's kind of interesting me, I still have not gotten to the point where I think there's a legitimate threat in the East other than Boston. If I'm proven wrong, I'm proven wrong. Is Dallas being overlooked here?
I don't think so.
I'm just looking at series prices. And I mean, again, it's based on what book, but ESPN Bet has it at plus 140. I've seen another book out there as high as plus 155. I mean, you can make a legitimate argument. Luka is the best player in the series.
Yeah, he's not healthy. I would push back. I think Anthony Edwards is playing better right now. Okay, but let's say Luka is the best player. Okay, we'll concede that.
All right, then Ant.
Then Ant.
Then Kyrie. Then, and I know he didn't play great last series.
I mean, Rudy Gobert is an elite defensive player. And Karl Anthony Towns played his butt off in Game 7. So, I don't know. The way Kyrie played in that series, I mean, you could make a strong argument that P.J. Washington is the reason the Dallas Mavericks beat the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, I think that's – I mean, I would say Luka number one, then P.J. Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they win that series if P.J. Washington doesn't shoot 47% from three and he's a lifetime 32% three-point shooter. Look, I think Minnesota's winning the series. You know, I wouldn't lay $1.70, $1.80. You know, what I did was I paired it with Celtics -1.5, meaning they had to win in six games or less, and got it to like plus, I think it was like plus 104 is what I bet it at. I think it's a fascinating series. You know, Dallas got hot at the right time. A lot of people believe that this was a team that, you know, certainly had a chance, especially with Oklahoma City as the one, to make a run to the Western Conference Finals, and they were accurate with that assessment. But I look at Minnesota and the matchup that they pose and the defense that they have. And look, I think Kyrie is getting applauded, rightfully so, for not being a knucklehead and seeing to bought into what they got going. And, you know, Kyrie has won a championship, something that I don't, you know, can't be said really by anyone else in this series, right? But at the end of the day, I trust this Minnesota team more than what Dallas has. And Mike Conley, obviously a guy that Memphis knows well, is proving to be absolutely vital to this Minnesota team as well. The depth of Minnesota is really impressive.
I think that's what I think is going to get Dallas ultimately is that you can maybe win, you're going to probably see them win a couple games because Luka and or Kyrie will go off in a game. But I just look at this and you go beyond them. You mentioned, like, we even saw towards the end of that series against OKC, P.J. Washington was already coming back down to earth a little bit. Tim Hardaway Jr. does not look like the same Tim Hardaway Jr. from a few years ago. Lively has been really good, but
he's still a rookie.
Well, he's a rookie. I mean, him and it's a big difference. I mean, going against Minnesota's bigs, that, like, to me, that's where Minnesota has just a huge advantage in that. I don't know how Dallas truly ultimately contends down low with Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid, and Rudy Gobert. Like, I think they have the three best bigs in the series. And I think it's going to be a huge advantage for them. And then, oh, by the way, I don't know if they have a great matchup for Anthony Edwards, ultimately. I mean, Derrick Jones Jr., maybe, I guess.
Well, and to go back to Derrick Jones Jr., another guy who is a career, like, 30% three-point shooter, and albeit it was two games, but in Game 5 and Game 6, he shot over 60% from three. So, look, those things happen. And, you know, Dallas isn't going to apologize for, you know, guys shooting above their skis. But from what I've seen from Minnesota, that's why I think they win this series. But, I mean, look, Dallas is solid. They have, like, you know, like you said, Jeffrey, you could absolutely make the argument that Luka is the best player. I don't think Luka's 100%.
Like, no, I haven't either. Although I've told Luka, it feels like half the time, like he's on the Ovechkin stuff. You'll see him in two games, and you're like, man, he looks terrible. And then you'll see him in the next game, and you're like, is he even hurt? Like, that's right. What's been so confusing to me in the playoffs. He's been that way. Who else was I saying, Mark?
Jamal Murray.
Yeah, Murray. Murray would have like two games where like he looks horrible, and then you'd see him in another one. It's like, what did these guys do?
And I will say, Luka had 39 and 34 against Minnesota. Only two games against him. He had 39 points, 13 assists, and 8 turnovers in the first game he played against him. And then in the second game he played against him this year, 34 points, 8 assists, 3 turnovers.
So. I almost just wonder, though, is Minnesota and the Nick Saban famously told the story, never forget, after the Americans beat the Russians in the 80 Olympics, they still had to go beat Finland.
Yep.
And he used that as the national championship game.
Well, and
had to go beat Finland. That was Notre Dame, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I do think, though, Minnesota has decent matchups for Luka and Kyrie, too. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, Edwards is a good defender. You could put him on Luka.
I think the big thing for the Timberwolves.
Jaden McDaniels is, you know, you can put him on Kyrie or Luka.
I mean, I think the big thing for the Timberwolves.
I guess Edwards said in his post-game interview he's going to be guarding Kyrie. So you have Kyrie.
Was that misdirection?
No, I bet he starts on Kyrie and you have Jaden McDaniels on Luka.
I'll ask this question, Tim.
Jaden McDaniels, I mean, this is the thing, too, about this Minnesota team. Jaden McDaniels didn't play last year. Remember what he punched, like a fire extinguisher?
Yeah.
In frustration.
Who's our boy, Elijah McCadden? We had a Memphis guy that did that, too.
And
Jalen Duren did it at one point. But, yes, no. It was the shooter guy. Keontae Kennedy.
Yeah, he broke
his
hand.
Missed the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
Not a fire extinguisher.
So
punched a basketball stanchion and broke a knuckle.
But ultimately, Jaden McDaniels, he didn't play against Denver last year, and he's playing the best basketball of his career right now, it feels like.
I mean, they're so deep. They had the sixth man of the year who has, you know, the fourth quarter that he had against Denver was phenomenal. Conley's playing great. Rudy Gobert, who gets crapped on by everyone. Hey, Draymond, keep talking. I'm just excited because he doesn't have an axe to grind or anything like that while he's going to be on the TNT set for the Western Conference Finals.
I want him off TV, so I told Mark this. That Kia commercial.
He couldn't have been more wrong about his assessment of Rudy Gobert.
I've told Mark this, though. You know that Kia commercial?
And he's same with the Pacers. He kind of crapped on the Pacers, too.
Let's all just agree to root for the wolf in that Kia commercial.
Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. Draymond feels like, you know, it's too much. It was probably always an act, but he's not doing a good enough job disguising it anymore.
I've always hated Draymond. So
Draymond tells it like it is. You know, he got that reputation with like the media and certain fans. Like, you know, you may not like Draymond on the court, but he tells it like it is off the court. And now it just feels like a shtick. It feels like an act.
Look, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's
sadly
important to. He was important to, obviously important to the dynasty that was the Golden State Warriors, because Clay and Steph aren't the agitator. But I mean, his shtick has got to have. If you're Steph, you're like, all right, dude, like I'm good, you know. Like the technicals, just, you know, all of this. He cost him a championship. I mean, it's not brought up all that much, but he'd cost him a championship in 2017. Or is it 16? 16.
16.
16. That's the 23 is greater than 73 t-shirts.
Yeah. So who do you give a better shot, Dallas or Indiana?
Dallas, for sure.
Dallas?
Yeah. This is kind of the problem that I've told Mark that I've had. We went through it at the top of the show, off like the top of our heads. We're basically batting at about like a 100 level right now.
Like 10-20% of the games have actually been like games decided in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter of these playoffs.
With that being said, I'm in this weird position of I've enjoyed the fact that I'm not sure who's going to win a particular game. I'm not sure who's going to win a particular series. But like, I do wonder, like, is this a good thing for the NBA?
I mean, the first round was awesome, I felt like, for the most part. Most of those series were really good. Most of those games, I should say. I mean, Lakers, Denver was great. What, four out of five games were all
competitive? We've upgraded from the most competitive sweep of all time to the most competitive gentleman sweep of all time.
The Sixers and Knicks was competitive.
That was a good series.
All the way around. You know, that was, I thought the first round was really entertaining. And then as you kind of moved on, I'm trying to think who else was in that first round. Dallas and the Clippers was an entertaining series.
Bucks Pacers had one good game, it felt like, though.
Yeah, I mean, they were just so hurt every single game. But, I mean, Cleveland-Orlando was a snooze fest, even though it went to seven games. Oklahoma City. Well, we had that epic weekend, right?
Yeah,
right?
The opening weekend.
Yeah. It was just, like, unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I think these playoffs have been fine. Look, at the end of the day, if the Celtics don't beat the Pacers, I mean, it's what? They you know, as Bill Simmons called him last year, second row Joe, like, Joe Mazzulla's got to go. Like, this would be an absolute, I don't care that Kristaps Porzingis is hurt. Like, if they don't beat the Pacers, and this is no knock to the Pacers, and I know that they had a competitive regular season against them. I think they beat them in the play-in tournament. You got to beat the Pacers. You're minus $9 favorites. I mean, you are enormous favorites. This whole Eastern Conference bracket has broken so ridiculously well for the Celtics. You play the Heat with no Jimmy Butler, and then by game five, they don't have Jaime Jaquez. Then you play Cleveland. They don't have
Donovan Mitchell for half the series.
Donovan Mitchell for what, games four and five? They don't have
Jared Allen
the whole series. Yeah. And now you play the Pacers.
By the way, it also seemed like Cleveland had the locker room nice and tight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, things were.
I mean, Shams waited, what,
buttoned up.
A minute and a half to post that from the final buzzer?
Yeah.
Have we decided, is this the way it's going, where we're going to have a sixth different NBA champion in 6 years, where, like you said, the games maybe haven't all been compelling, but by and large, you've gone into a lot of these series going, man, I'm not really sure who's going to win. I mean, the Boston series all seem to be the ones where you've gone
if they
and gone,
lose, like, what happened?
I'd be surprised. And I guess maybe the OKC New Orleans one, based on what New Orleans with Zion out, maybe. That's really it in terms of going into games of the series going, I, you know.
Yeah, that's about right.
So having that dynamic, the parity, if you will, that's the buzzword of the week, that the NBA finally has parity, kind of like the NFL.
I believe the corporate term is competitive balance, Mark.
Competitive balance. Is that a good, like, the most successful times in the NBA have not been when it's been like this. But here in Memphis, I think it's probably good that it's like this. I mean, ultimately, that's what a market like Memphis needs to have an NBA champion, is a climate where there's, you know, a lot of parity, I would think. What do you make of this for the league moving forward?
I think it's good because Anthony Edwards is a superstar or a rising superstar, and the league loves stars. And, you know, I've been laughing because I'm like, all right, how long until we start crapping on Anthony Edwards, right? Where it's like, he can do no wrong right now, but was it 1 year, 2 years where we're like, is Anthony Edwards a true star? But I think it is good. I think it's good for the league in that, you know, that stretch of Warriors, Cavaliers, four straight years, I think was not great for the league. Where
I think it, though, don't it, you agree though? If Durant,
but it was the star. I think
that just got so tainted by Durant. I know y'all are Durant guys. But him going to the Warriors just felt so cheap. If it would have just been LeBron versus Steph for 4 years, I think we would have been cool with it.
Because the games weren't, because the series wasn't competitive.
Yeah.
And Houston was, you know, on the rise there. I don't know, because I don't know when that league was the healthiest, because in the 80s, the Celtics and Lakers just alternated championships basically every year until the Pistons won it in, what, 89?
Philly got one
with Moses, the faux year.
Yeah.
And then you had the Bulls, obviously, with, you know, 3 and 8 years, or 6 and 8 years, excuse me. And plenty of people probably think that stretch of Jordan as the, you know, highlight of, you know, the NBA you know, with a superstar. So I don't know. I could make an argument both ways. That, you know, having a new chance. I think having Denver not in the Western Conference Finals, I don't think that's great. But, I mean, Luka's a superstar. Anthony Edwards is a superstar. I think the Eastern Conference is kind of a disaster right now, where it's like it feels like it's Boston and then just a mismatch of, you know, mediocrity. But a lot of that has to do with Giannis being hurt.
Embiid
being hurt. You know, the Knicks, to be honest, I mean, they were incredibly banged up once they got into the postseason. I mean, think about it. Honestly, if you're the Celtics, after Jalen Brunson broke his hand, you're like, come on, Knicks.
Yeah, go Knicks, go.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, my level of interest, hopefully I'm wrong. My partner, Jonathan Von Tobel, our NBA guy, he seems to believe that the Pacers will be competitive in this series. He thinks he bet the Pacers plus 2.5 games, meaning he believes they'll get to at least a game 6. So, you know, there's some smart people out there. I was just listening to Tim Legler on Russillo's podcast, and he believes this is going to be a 6 or 7 game series. So hopefully the Pacers surprise us. And, you know, this is a team that, with the offensive firepower that they've shown, I mean, hell, in Game 7 on the road at Madison Square Garden, that team shot 67% from the field. Like, they are capable of putting up tons of points. So I think from an entertainment standpoint, I guess we could be pretty entertained with this series. I think Minnesota-Dallas is going to be fascinating. I do. I think Minnesota will win. I have a slight bet on them to win it. But, you know, I think when you've got Luka Doncic and Anthony Edwards as the two headliners, you could do a lot worse.
Tim, we appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, fellas. See ya.